Rays Radio Network proudly presents This Week in Rays Baseball.
Drilled to center field and deep. Back out of his seat, to the track, to the wall. It's gone! Evan Longoria with a two-run home run to straightaway center. And he gives the Rays a 6-4 lead here in the ninth.
Coming up, we'll recap the action from this past week, take a look around Major League Baseball, and sit down for in-depth interviews with the biggest names in the game.
1-2. Got a pitch. Got him swinging, and the ball game is over as Jake McGee strikes out the side in the ninth inning.
Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our show. Our first Saturday program in 2015 as the Rays get set for Boston. We stay in Saturdays for the month of September and October. Now on today's show, we sit down with several of these September call-ups, chat with the managers of the Rays minor league affiliates in the postseason, and visit with Blake Snell, USA Today's Minor League Player of the Year. Welcome back to This Week in Rays Baseball. I'm Neil Solons. When the roster expanded in September, well, it meant something different to each of the players who joined the Rays. Matt Moore, who starts today, looks for a good month to help springboard into 2016. For Mikey Mantuk, who started the last four games in the outfield, this is his first September in the majors.
You know, it's been great. Obviously, this whole year has been up and down for me, whenever they needed me, and that's kind of been my role this year, which, you know, I'm almost okay with. And, when I went down the last time, I wanted to just continue to play well and continue to, feel good and feel better, and so that if they did call me up in September and I had the opportunity to play, that I could help our team, in the playoff run and try to play meaningful games in September to get to October. So, whenever they did call me up September 1st and, I was able to get some more playing time and play well and help our team out, it's been great.
It's an adjustment to go up and down and up and down. What have you learned from it, and how do you think it's helped you as a ball player?
It is an adjustment. It's a tough adjustment. It's something that I've never had to go through ever in my career. But the thing that I learned most about it was, no matter where you're at, AAA, AA, big leagues, it's all baseball, and you have to play baseball. So, if I'm called up and I'm playing in the big leagues, concentrate on playing baseball, help your team win, do what you can do, have good at-bats. And then the minute you get sent down, that approach should never change. It should stay the same. And I think towards the end of the year, I was able to implement that a little bit better than I was earlier in the year.
Who's been helpful in allowing you to adjust or helping you adjust to that? Because the other thing is you're not playing all the time every day, and you've got to adjust to coming off a bench or playing late in games or maybe platooning.
You just talk to guys that have been through it. There's a few guys in the soccer room that, that have had to do the same thing that I've had to do. And so it's just part of the progression of baseball, part of being a young player. And, I'll just ask them questions, ask anything that kind of arises that I feel that, I'm kind of in limbo with or kind of confused about. Just, ask questions and just try to get their input on things.
Playing a sixth month for the first time this year, how do you feel physically, and how do you think what do you hope to learn from this in terms of getting ready for next year?
Physically, I feel great. I've done a good job this year keeping myself in shape and, keep myself healthy. And, honestly, just being here in September and playing in the big leagues, it gives you that second wind. And so I honestly feel extremely fresh. And, what I want to do here is just continue to help play well and help our team win and hopefully jumpstart, next year and play well and maybe earn a spot on the team at the end of spring training.
High aspirations for Mikey Mantuk, who's had six stints with the Rays this year and is 6-16 here in September. Catcher Luke Maley is just getting his feet wet after his first call-up to start this month.
Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind, it's a dream come true for me. I think I've told a lot of people this, but for as long as I can remember, this is all I've wanted to do. So now that it's finally happened for me, I just don't have a lot of words for it. It's really exciting, and I'm just trying to make the most of it.
What's the biggest difference? It's a short period that you've gotten to kind of judge it, but what's the biggest change?
Well, everybody's just a little sharper. For me, it's just kind of the same thing as going from low A to double A or double A to triple A in terms of the play. I think that the bullpens here that I've seen are obviously extremely good, especially in the division. And I think the overall defense is just a little crisper, but it's the same game. That's the thing that stands out to me the most is it's really the same game. But I think the adjustment that you have to make is dealing with the crowd, dealing with all the cameras, everybody's always watching. You know, that part of it is much different. And plus, you know, the games are, you know, you're playing to win up here. Not that you're not down in the lower levels, but it's important. And you got to kind of wrap your head around that and go compete.
Who's been helpful? Because obviously you know some of the pitchers here, but you're still learning a staff. You're getting to know hitters that maybe you've seen more on TV than you have in person.
I've had a lot of people that have been extremely helpful so far. A lot of the bullpen guys I was able to chat with the first couple days when I was trying to catch up some of their pens, they were extremely helpful just trying to get me acclimated to where to be, what to call, different hitters and the different lineups we were playing. But, you know, across the board, from the coaching staff all the way down to the position players and everybody in between, I've had a lot of help and a lot of, you know, nice things said to me, a lot of people that are trying to just make this adjustment period easy for me.
With about 3 weeks left in the season, what do you hope to accomplish and learn that can help you next year?
It's been really nice, first of all, just to get my feet wet. And I think once I got those first game jitters out of the way, I was able to just kind of go play my game, made it a lot easier. So I'm happy that that's kind of starting to happen for me. But if I can continue to do that, start to feel more and more comfortable, and then just sort of pick the brains of starting pitching and relief pitching that we have here that we're going to carry into next year, I think that'll kind of vault me forward a little bit and be a little bit ahead of the curve than I otherwise would have been. And then just watching at bats, watching how guys, you know, what pitches they take, what pitches they choose to attack. You know, this is the highest level there is, and they're really good. They're here for a reason, and I'm just hoping to pick up something.
And it's been a short stretch, but is there a moment that sticks out for you in your first couple weeks here?
Yankee Stadium was pretty impressive. I mean, all of them are very impressive. I think when I was playing catch with Matt Moore at Yankee Stadium and had a bunch of people in the stands that were there to see me, walking back from the bullpen to the dugout and just kind of taking it all in, that was a moment I'll never forget.
And hopefully that first hit for Luke Maley is right around the corner. For Nick Franklin, this is a season where a good September can help him put a tough season in the rearview mirror. It started with an oblique injury in spring training, and he's now dealing with a fractured toe in his right foot.
It was just bad timing, but I've been getting better, and I was, you know, just trying to slowly go about it and getting healthy, and I think nothing's going to be perfect, you know, all the time, so I just got to deal with it.
What have you learned during the course of this year? It looked like you put up some pretty good numbers when you got down to Durham, and who was helpful in getting you on track?
You know, Dave Myers had a lot of credit to that. Chad Montola came in, and he helped us out a lot with hitting, and I think more importantly, it's, you know, without them and, you know, myself kind of wanting to make these changes, you know, it doesn't happen. So I was very grateful that they were there and they were the most important keys.
Obviously, we haven't seen a ton of you at the plate since you came up. What are the biggest adjustments or changes you might have made from when you went down?
You know, just, you know, little things, and I changed my swing and just really trying to see the ball, really getting comfortable. You know, when I was up here for the time that I was, you know, it was kind of tough to get in a rhythm, and I think, you know, the best part about it was going down was getting playing time every single day and getting in the box and knowing that I'm going to, you know, play every day.
The fact that, you know, you missed all that time early on in the season with the oblique injury, is there a chance you may play winter ball or something of that nature to try and make up the at-bats, or what's kind of your take going into, obviously we're still a month from next year, a few weeks, but what's your thought on that at this point?
You know, honestly, I think, you know, it's not like I have been in the minor leagues for 12 years, but I think I've played enough to where my bats, you know, it's not going to matter if I get any more extra after the season or not. I think that what I've done in AAA is, you know, I think self-spoken as it is, you know, for what I did for the time period that I was there. So I think, you know, just kind of going the offseason and kind of just recovering from everything, and that would probably be helpful.
And Franklin also hopes to show his .844 OPS down the stretch in Durham is a sign of things to come. In the bullpen, C.J. Riefenhauser is enjoying his second September in the majors.
Being in September right now, getting a little bit of a longer look, it's more of a, I would say, like an audition type of thing for me. But at the same time, we're still in this wild card race and just trying to help the team win any way I can.
You look a lot more comfortable when you're pitching in big league games now than, let's say, I think maybe this time a year ago. How do you feel personally about, you know, pitching in big league games? Do you feel more of a comfort level?
Yeah, you know, I'm healthier now, and I feel comfortable. I'm just trying to focus on the process every day. Mentally, I think I'm, 100% better. Just trying to go out there, like I said, and just get the job done instead of trying to worry about all these other things that I can't control. And for the most part, it's been helping me a lot.
where do you feel you've also improved? Obviously, the mental you mentioned is a big part of it.
Yeah, no, mentally I think I improved a lot, and I feel like that was the thing that was holding me back a little bit. And pretty much just pitching. Overall, just breaking ball, fastball command, just try and repeat my delivery every single time.
C.J. Riefenhauser has thrown 3 scoreless outings since rejoining the Rays. C.J. sees this as a way to build toward 2016. The same goes for Kirby Yates, who's trying to finish strong after a tough season overall. And for that reason, Yates didn't take a September call-up for granted.
That was great. I mean, I was ecstatic. You know, it's been up and down year, to say the least. So, you know, getting a chance to come back here in September and actually hopefully put together, like, you know, it's just a good string of run or a good string of outings or something like that. It's something I'm trying to do and look forward to.
You mentioned up and down. What have you learned about yourself through all of this? Because obviously, you know, they say your challenges are supposed to make you stronger.
Absolutely. You know, it's been tough, but, you know, I feel like if I can get through this year, I'm prepared for anything. But, you know, year's not done yet. There's still some work to be done, so I'm trying to get through it.
Who's been most helpful from a player side, maybe from a coaching side too, and what kind of adjustments have you made?
You know, I got down there with Snyder, and we talked about my slider's been terrible all year. So now I'm kind of curveball heavy in that aspect of it. Just, you know, trying to figure out ways to adjust to what your stuff is, not necessarily knowing that you have your best stuff. And everybody knows how to pitch when they have their best stuff because that's what they do. Just trying to make adjustments that fit and that you're comfortable with the get outs. And I feel like I'm in a place where I can do that right now.
Are there guys in the bullpen too who've been fairly helpful in offering ideas? Because obviously every one of those guys has probably gone through what you've gone through too.
Yeah, I've talked to Gomes a lot about it, and we kind of feel the same way about it. We're bouncing stuff off each other, and, you know, it's put me in a place where I'm pretty confident right now in my ability to be able to do what I want to do.
Yates did throw a scoreless outing his last time out, and hopefully that's a step in the right direction. Andrew Bilotti got the win in relief last night, and he's finding out what it's like to pitch in September for the first time.
It just means a tremendous amount, you know, for this whole playoff push that we're making, you know, to help this team in any way possible that I can, and then see where we end up, you know, at the end of September and just go out there and give it 100%.
How much does it help to play a 6-month, because at the minor league level you generally play a 5-month season, to try and see how your body responds to having to play extra?
Well, yeah, I mean, every year before this entire year, talking about spring training, I was always used to, you know, starting in March, ending at the beginning of September. So at the beginning of the year, pushing my spring training up, you know, 2 weeks, that was new for me. And now playing throughout September, that's new. But my body, after, you know, coming off the DL and everything like that, I mean, I feel great. And I think I'm going to, you know, continue to progress physically through September. And, you know, in October, I'll feel real good.
Do you have a good idea as to maybe if you're going to do anything different in the off season based on how your body feels or just having a longer season? Because it certainly would be natural if you decided, hey, I want to make a slight adjustment here or there.
Well, every year I try to, you know, incorporate something different every off season to keep progressing. And this year's not going to be any different. I'm going to figure out what worked best last off season to put me in a good position in spring training and at the beginning of the year, and then incorporate something new. I haven't really figured that out yet. But I think from this year, I have not, you know, pitched enough innings that I know I'm capable of. So, you know, next season, prepare my body to definitely pitch a heavy amount.
What have you learned so far in your time up here? What's helped, and who's helped you the most in terms of getting adjusted? Because it is different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, just talking with, you know, our trainers and Hick, Arch a little bit about, you know, this is a long season. Definitely something I'm not used to, you know, playing in the minors for my first 6 years. You know, it's definitely a marathon. It's not, you know, this sprint. So, having your body feel good throughout the season and then pushing yourself, you know, in those later months, late August into September and feeling really good, that's what it's about.
And that's Andrew Bellotti, one of the last race September call-ups. Now, you didn't hear from one call-up, Richie Schaefer, and this month he'll probably play more than any of the other September call-ups for the Rays. You'll hear from him next week when the minor league awards are announced. Coming up, Todd Callis of Sun Sports, right after this. You're tuned to the Rays Baseball Network. We continue on this week in Rays Baseball, and joining us now from Sun Sports, Todd Callis. And Todd, before the break, we talked to a lot of the guys who've been called up here in September and chatted with them about what they're hoping for this month. What are you hoping for and what you're hoping to learn over these last few weeks with this team, two under 500, still mathematically alive for the postseason?
Yeah, I'd like to see them make a run. I mean, with the season ending in a little more than 3 weeks, there's really not a team that separated themselves for the second wild card. So the Rays would need an incredible run. It's almost tough to scoreboard watch because there's so many teams ahead of them right now. But if they go on a big run, that would be exciting. If they don't and there's a week left and they're mathematically out of it, I would love to see some guys get some extra ABs, whether it's a Richie Schaefer or a Mikey Matuk, some guys like that, and see what happens, because that's the time you want to see what your young guys can do, because you can learn a lot more, I think, this time of year in September, October, than you can in spring training.
In the last 4 days, we did see Matuk start all against left-handed starters, and he produced. He scored a run in every game. He had an RBI in all but one of those games.
Mikey's done a nice job, and unfortunately, he fills a similar role that we've seen with Brandon Guyer, so there's really not much room for him in the outfield, especially the way Kevin Kiermaier plays defense, and now that Steven Souza Jr. is healthy, it's hard to get Matuk regular at bats. But I think Mikey's done a nice job. I think he's one of the guys that I would love to see if the Rays do fall out of this.
One guy who certainly played extremely well lately is J.P. Arencibia. Has he put himself into the picture for next year?
I think so. I mean, that's a good question. When Kirk Casale comes off the disabled list, and he's been working out here the last couple of days, and it's probably within a week, now you're going to have four catchers all of a sudden. Luke Maley obviously is up as an extra catcher for a September roster expansion, but you've got Maley, you've got your opening day starter, and your guy who is really your regular catcher for the first two-thirds of the season, Rene Rivera. And then Casale had the big run before he got hurt, and now Arencibia is. So it could be an interesting problem. The Rays haven't had an excess of catchers in a long time, and I think JP has certainly worked himself into the conversation.
And he'll be handling Matt Moore today, and this would seem to be a pretty important 3 or 4 week period for Matt to try and figure out some momentum into next year.
No doubt. I think these final 22 games are probably more important to Matt Moore than maybe anybody else on the team. Would Steven Souza Jr. like to get a solid 3 weeks under his belt before the offseason? Sure. But I think Matt Moore, just going through the injury, coming back, not really doing the as well as he would like, going back to Durham and now getting a second shot, I think these 3 weeks could do a world of good confidence level-wise for Matt going into 2016.
And maybe he doesn't need the confidence as much as Matt Moore, but it probably is fairly important for Drew Smyly, too, as the Rays try and figure out what the rotation looks like for next year. You know, you've got two guys who missed a good portion of the schedule this season in Moore and Smyly behind Archer and Odorizzi.
Yeah, for Drew, I think it's also an important 3 weeks, too. And, you know, right now they're back-to-back in the rotation, but it's nice to have a couple of lefties in the rotation. The Rays didn't have that for a long time. They were going all right-handed for a while. So it's nice to see Drew back and healthy. It's nice to see Matt back and healthy. And those guys are definitely part of the picture for next year.
Indeed. And the Rays are going to have a lot to figure out in regard to their pitching staff, but also in terms of trying to figure out their makeup for next season while they play for this year. And one of those areas is hitting right-handed pitching. And in the last few days, they've pounded left-handed pitching. They face a righty today. And there's a real marked dichotomy between how they fare against lefties and righties.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's good to see a lefty finally, which is unusual, or excuse me, a righty today, which is unusual to say, because the Rays have done so well against lefties, but lefties have pitched the last four games as the starter against Tampa Bay. So now, all of a sudden, the Jasos and the Sizemores and the Lonies and the Navas aren't necessarily getting their regular bats. So for them, it's good to see a righty out there. But yeah, that's an area that the Rays would probably have liked to have done better. I think Jaso being out the length of time he was didn't help that situation. So we'll see what they do tonight against Porcello.
Should be interesting stuff. Todd, thanks for a few minutes on This Week in Rays Baseball.
All right, Neil, thank you.
And that is Todd Callis of Sun Sports. We'll continue on this week in Rays Baseball in a moment. Right now, let us pause for station identification on the Rays Baseball Network.
This is Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM.
Neil Solon's with you on this week in Rays baseball. So we get set for the Rays and Red Sox in game 2 of 3. Right now, time to look at the minor league side of the Rays. 3 affiliates made the postseason. 1, the Princeton Rays. They finished 1 game shy of a championship in the Appy League Finals. Losing or joining us right now is their manager, Danny Schaefer. Danny, congrats on a very good year.
Well, thanks, Neil. We fell a little bit short, but real proud of the boys. They did really well.
It would have been the first title for the Princeton Rays in their history. This was the first time they got to the postseason in back-to-back years. Obviously, you've seen a lot of young and, I would guess, talented kids grow up a little bit the last two seasons.
Well, we have. And we've taken kids that were high school kids that, really matured quickly. Some college kids last year that, are now, knocking on the door as major prospects. And so, I was blessed to have, the kind of talent that we had last year, and especially this year. This year was a group of kids that weren't real high on the draft list and some non-drafted free agents, and they really answered the bell.
Of those kids who were, let's say, non-drafted or lower draft picks, who are the guys who stood out to you that you think have a chance that maybe didn't get a whole lot of attention going into draft day?
Well, we have shortstop Pete Maris that came from University of California, Santa Barbara, undrafted, and really, to me, was the anchor of our ball club. He led off. He was on base constantly. Actually, he got an invite to Instructional League, which is, a great feather in his cap for being a non-drafted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good, gritty baseball player. He's his blue collar and can play anywhere in the infield. And, we have some other guys, for example, Brett Sullivan, our third baseman, led the league in extra base hits, second in home runs, and hit 20 doubles, and just had a great year. But he's going to be converted to a catcher here in about 5 or 6 days, and so a left-handed hitting catcher with some power, that's a commodity that's hard to come by.
And obviously, he was a corner infielder for you as a third baseman, so he's got to have some sort of arm.
He's got a very good arm, and he was a catcher in high school. When he got to college in California, they put him in the infield because of a need and never got back behind the plate. But we're going to make that switch. He's all in on it. And, with the lack of offensive catchers in the major league mm-hmm. now, if you can have one that swings from the left side that is adequate behind the plate, we might have something.
Certainly could. And a kid who was probably no more for his bat that had a really good year catching for you is David Rodriguez.
Yeah, David exceeded every expectation of mine, and maybe mine were low. But, I looked at the player that came out of the Gulf Coast League last year, and people had questions about his throwing, and really it was a red flag. And I had never really seen him play except for in extended spring training. But when David got here, he took the bull by the horns. He did a very good job behind the plate. Offensively, he came on at the end of the year. But one thing that really stands out is what was the major concern was his arm and throwing. He threw out 53% of his runners in the Appy League. That's pretty good.
Indeed, because most of those kids probably on the mound are not great at holding runners at that point in time in terms of, knowing how to do that, especially with so many young pitchers. One name that I wanted to touch on, too, from the championship series, your last game, you had a two-homer game from a kid named Landon Cray. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Landon is a Northwest boy. He's out of the University of Seattle, I believe, and he's a guy. He's not going to wow you with his size. He's a short, 5'10", left-handed thrower, left-handed hitter. He had spurts this year where he hit the ball very, very well, and obviously two home runs in the final game. One was a 3-run homer. One was a solo homer. Kept us in the series and gave us a chance. And gives a good at bat. He may have led the league in walks. I'm not quite sure, but I know he was up there in the top 2 or 3. So he knows how to get on base. He's a contact hitter, has some occasional power. And all the kids that we're talking about, I don't get to make the final decision on this, but all the kids we're talking about are going to be battling for spots in Bowling Green next year, and it'll be exciting to see them in a full season.
Indeed, and obviously the Rays' backbone is pitching, especially young pitching, and you had some kids who were draft picks last year that got a chance to start this year. Spencer Moran, Blake Bivens, how did they grow this year? How much have they grown from a year ago?
Well, I think the guy that has grown the most, obviously, is Spencer Moran. I think his velocity, and I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty sure about it. I think his velocity picked up 3 to 5 miles an hour since spring training, and he was he's got great angle. He's what the Rays look for. He's a guy that has swing and miss fastball. He's a high school kid. He's got great leverage. Reminds me of a kid. Now, he's not going to be this good, but it reminds me of a kid I had with the Cardinals at one point that came up that was a little unsure of himself once he was traded over to the Cardinals, tall, lanky right-hander by the name of Adam Wainwright. And when I look at Spencer Moran, I see the same type of body, the same type of bulldog mentality. And so it'll be exciting to watch him. You know, Blake Bivens is a different story. He's not a real big guy, a high school kid that just knows how to pitch. I mean, he's got to hit his spots to have success. Brock Burke, a left-hander, a higher pick 2 years ago. He's a little bit in the Spencer Moran mold as body-wise, but completely different pitcher than Spencer. So all these kids have a chance to pitch in a full season next year. I'm excited about it. You know, the guy that I really like right now is Moran, because he wasn't even in our rotation when the year started, and he worked his way in there, and he became a guy who we could count on.
Well, we're certainly be keeping a close eye on him, especially after what you told us last year. I mean, you gave glowing recommendations on Brent Honeywell, and I mean, look what he's become. He's become a top 50 prospect in the minors now.
Well, that's not hard. anybody could have said that about Brent Honeywell. But you know, I think Spencer's one to keep your eye on, because if he picks up another mile or two, and I know it doesn't sound like much, but right now he's 91 and 93. If he picks up to 94 to 95, he's going to be pretty special.
And one other kid I wanted to make sure we touched on, and we're talking with Danny Schaefer, manager of the Princeton Rays, is Zach Law, because I had heard a lot of good things going into extended spring training about him, and it sounds like he didn't disappoint.
No, he didn't. Handled himself very, very well as a high school kid, as a 19-year-old, and I've got nothing but praise. He goes about his business the right way. He's a pro. He's a perfectionist. He wants to get better. And, you know, I know everybody, when they talk about minor league players, they want to compare them to what they would be like in the major leagues. And I've mentioned this before, he's a young Skip Schumacher to me, and he just does everything right. He's not going to wow you, but ball comes off his bat like he's 6'5". And so... You know, 23rd or 24th round pick, I believe. That's a diamond in the rough.
Well, the Rays have been good at finding those, with Kevin Kiermaier at the top of the list. Hopefully they continue to do so with guys helping them develop like you. Danny, thanks for a few minutes again, and congrats on a great year.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
That's Princeton manager Danny Schaefer. Now, when we return, we'll hear from the managers, the high A and double A teams currently in the playoffs, and the Rays pitcher who's USA Today's Minor League Player of the Year. That's right after this. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.
We continue on This Week in Rays Baseball, and we mentioned there are a couple of teams in the Rays organization still in the postseason, and one of those, the Charlotte Stonecrabs. In fact, they're a win away from a championship, and joining me now is Michael Johns, their manager. Michael, congratulations to this point on what you've done in the playoffs.
Neil, thanks for having me, as always, and it's been a fun ride. Obviously, to win four straight games in the playoffs is something that's very hard to do, and you know, start off going to Palm Beach and beating them there when they've given us fits the last few games, and then to come home and seal the South Division Championship, and then to go to Daytona, which is always a tough place to win. We haven't done it this year, and to go in there and win too, it's been fun. So real credit to these guys. They enjoy it. They've embraced the challenge, and it's been really fun to watch them.
Has it kind of been a new set of life for your group, because you won the first half, you had a lot of promotions in the second half, you're trying to get used to a new group of guys, you had some injuries too. Did the playoffs allow you to kind of recharge the batteries?
Yeah, I think so. It's really a credit to our coordinators and the managers that have had these guys, the pitching coaches, the hitting coaches, and there's a lot that goes into this. Obviously, we've had a lot of promotions, which is a good thing. We always want to get guys closer to the big leagues, and a lot of guys deserve to go to Montgomery, and obviously they're in the playoffs as well. And to, I don't want to say regroup, but we've had a lot of changes, some injuries, and a lot of guys have stepped up. But I think it just speaks depth, or it speaks volumes to the depth of what this organization has.
You also got a guy who joined you on rehab, and he rejoined the Rays last night, in Steven Souza Jr. What kind of energy did it bring to your group to start the playoffs with a guy in Major League Rehab?
I'm glad you brought that up, because not only did he perform at the plate, obviously he did really well for us in those two games. He played hard. He stole a base. He was going first to third. He played like it was a playoff game for him, and that was really fun to watch. Sometimes you get rehab guys that kind of want to go, you know, station to station, first to second, second to third. They don't want to get injured. And then we understand that. But he played the game like it was the World Series, and it was awesome. And then not only that, but what he did at the plate, he hit one of the furthest home runs I've ever seen hit at Palm Beach, which is a tough place to hit home runs, and he hit one over the building in left field. And for me, it was the furthest ball I've ever seen hit. Not only that, but like I said, he played outstanding defense, ran the bases hard, and he certainly brought a lot of energy to us.
Do you think it rubbed off on some of the kids to see someone like that coming down on rehab in September with your guys in the playoffs?
I think it had to. It certainly rubbed off on me. He was in the game. He was in every pitch. He wanted to win. He understood he was on a rehab assignment, but he wanted to do whatever it took to help us win the playoff game. And it was awesome. It was fun to watch him.
We're talking with Michael Johns, manager of the Charlotte Stonecrabs, one win away from a championship. And, Michael, obviously to have won four games out of four so far in the playoffs, you have to be getting great pitching. And in game one of the postseason, Brent Honeywell set the tone. Give us an idea as to what you've learned about him in the half season he's been with you after their promotion from Bowling Green.
I think the biggest thing with Brent Honeywell is he likes to compete. He likes the stage. He likes the limelight. He likes being in those situations. And what he did on Tuesday in Palm Beach was absolutely outstanding. It was really fun to watch. He pitched in with his fastball. He's got a really good arsenal of weapons. He really did a nice job covering. I think he went seven or eight innings. And probably could have given up no runs. But he was awesome. And then it seemed like it just kind of steamrolled into the next outing with Marquez, who, you know, those guys have Palm Beach had really done a nice job with Marquez. They were laying off his off-speed stuff, and I thought what he really did was pitch in well with his fastball and got him off the plate. And then who matches him in Daytona, and then Borden last night was his best outing of the year. It seems like we've gotten dominant performances from all four starters, but it all started with Brent Honeywell, who – he'll take the ball any night. He loves pitching, he loves his teammates, and he loves to compete.
And Hunter Wood will try and close things out tonight. I know he's going to the Arizona Fall League. Buddy Borden's going to the Fall League, and a guy who closed out one of your games, Mike Franco, is as well. What can you tell us about those kids, and what you hope to how do you think the Fall League will help those kids?
Well, I think the Fall League is designed to get guys a few extra innings and to work on whatever they need to work on. But Hunter Wood's obviously got an electric arm. He came in one of those games in Palm Beach, did a nice job to close it out in a really tight situation. He's got a big fastball with a big curveball. He's got major league stuff. And all he's got to do is tweak a couple of things here, and that's what the Fall League is for. Buddy Borden's a guy that's quietly had a really good year. I think he's top 10 in most categories in the league. And last night, like I said, he pitched the game of his life, really. I mean, he had a commanding fastball. He was down in the zone. He had a really good changeup. He threw a cutter that Doc Watson, our pitching coach, has really been working on him with. He's been outstanding. He's bulked a lot of innings, a horse. He likes the ball. He likes to go out there. And, they, you know, in a 6-1 game like last night, it seems like there weren't, you know, maybe we just kind of walked away with it. Well, we didn't. They had runners on, and he was able to get out of some jams. He just kept pitching. And then Mike Franco has been awesome. He's been great at the back of the bullpen. He's a guy we trust at the back of the bullpen. And he's a guy that's come in a lot of tight situations. It doesn't faze him. I know he was a starter, I think, in college, and he's accepted his role in the bullpen very well. He's got a fastball slider mix, and he likes to compete too. And that's the biggest thing with these guys. They like competing. They don't back away from a challenge. Doesn't matter if it's second, third, no outs or no one on, no outs. They like competing. They like the big stage.
Another kid who's performed well in these playoffs from a position player's standpoint is a guy who I know during his career has been injured a bit, Grandon Getzman. How much does it mean to see him perform as he has in the playoffs?
That's great. You know, just what Grandon's been through in the last 4 years, I think I've had him at every level. And just to watch his development, his maturity, and to see him play really well in the playoffs has been fun as a manager, and that's why we do what we do. To watch guys like him perform, he's obviously got every tool he can run. He's got big bat speed. He's got big power. And he's really kind of solidified our offense. It seems like every time he gets up, something good happens. He steals bases. He can go to the extra base. He's played a really good defense. And he's given us quality at bats every outing or every night.
Well, hopefully he and the rest of the team can close things out in the postseason tonight and win a championship. Best of luck tonight in Port Charlotte against Daytona, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Neil, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And that is Michael Johns, the manager of the Charlotte Stone Crabs, again seeking a Florida State League championship this evening. Double A Montgomery, they're in the postseason too, and joining us right now is their manager. That is Brady Williams. Brady, first of all, congratulations on getting to the playoffs.
No, I appreciate it, Neil, and thanks for having me on.
You guys had a terrific second half run. What in your mind was the key to the second half run that got you into the playoffs?
Well, it was a culmination of a lot of things. I mean, it was, you know, we've had some guys come and go. I think finally we just kind of came together as a team. Big series for us was in Birmingham. We went in there. We were down three games behind them. We were in second place, and we needed, obviously, to have a good series. We went in there, and we won five in a row. Kind of put us where we needed to be. We were up to after that, and played some tough series after that, but was just still went on a good run. And the key has been our pitching, and our offense finally came alive. Nine guys in the lineup having good at bats. It was fun to watch.
You know, I chatted with Michael Johns a little while ago. Obviously, they're a win away now from a championship for the Charlotte Stone Crabs, and you've got a lot of kids who played on the first half championship team in Charlotte that helped you win a double-A playoff berth in the second half. What kind of group are they in terms of their tenacity and their will to win?
Well, first of all, they're really good human beings. You know, they come to the park every day ready to play, but awesome young men. They got the right mindset for the game, and they got a lot of talent. So I think a lot of those things come together, and you get a good team, and you get good players. Pretty special for those, some of those guys. I mean, they haven't lost too many games this whole year. I mean, in the first half, I think they won close to 50 games, and then the second half, we won 43 games. So not a whole lot of losing going on in those guys.
When you're combining them, that's more than 90 wins in a season. That's pretty special in the minors.
Yeah.
One of those guys is going to pitch tonight for you. You're down 1-0 in the series, Jake Faria. What kind of year has he had? You know, all the attention's gone to Blake Snell, and understandably so, but Jake led the minors in wins.
Yeah, a special season for him. You know, when you got a couple pitchers like that, it's kind of tough to be second fiddle, but, you know, they're both probably get, you know, both of them have promising futures. You know, for Jake is got really good command. He's got really good stuff. Tough to hit, and he's put together a very impressive season streak. I mean, he's been dominant the last three or four outings, 14, 12, 11 strikeouts. So hopefully, he can go out tonight and just give us a quality start.
You lost game one of the postseason to Chattanooga in the ninth inning, and then last night you had a rainout. Does that help a little bit for the guys to get to regroup? Did you want to see him get back out there? How did you look at it?
You know, initially I thought I wanted to play last night, and then when the rain came, I was like, you know what, this could be a good thing for us to kind of get our minds back to, you know, playing baseball. Maybe the emotion from Chattanooga can kind of wear off where they're not riding a big high. So going in tonight, we're back to square one, plus we got the right guy on the mound for the job.
And offensively, you mentioned that you clicked as a group. One guy who came back off the DL, Daniel Robertson, I know he's going to the Fall League to get some at-bats. Can you give us a feel for how he played since he came back off the DL?
Yeah, he's, you know, when he first got back, he wasn't quite in baseball shape. You know, I think it was tough for him early on. But we tried to take care of him as much as we could, play him day off, play him a couple of days, day off. When he finally got back into game shape, he took off. He started having really good at-bats. He started driving the ball to all fields and really being a staple in that middle of the order, just to kind of let the other guys do their part. But he came on big for us, and happy for him because he's had an up-and-down season. You know, you start tough, and then you kind of finally figure it out, and then you get hurt, broken hamate. You're out 2 months, and then you come back, and you're in a playoff race. Kind of pressure's on you, and he kind of took to it, and I'm really happy for the kid to finish the way they did.
You talk about guys finishing strong. I know he had a home run in game one of the playoffs, and while he had a tough last week, Patrick Leonard, it looks on paper, was one of the key guys in your surge down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think he was hitting 180 or 190 early in May, you know, 6 weeks into the season. And just a steady climb since then. Big part of our second half. I want to say he hit 330 in the second half. Played an awesome third base for us, and it's just a grind for him. And it was a very productive season, because I'm not quite sure he's had those kind of struggles and come out on top like the way he did. I know he didn't finish how he wanted to. He had a tough last five, six games, but in general, really quality season for him.
Another guy who finished strong, he started strong too. He had a tough middle. Tyler Gidell, where has he kind of figured it out now?
Looks like it. He finished the way that he started. I mean, he came in to Double-A on fire. He first two, 3 weeks, he was hitting 400 with home runs, left field, right field, driving guys in left and right. And I was like, man, this guy, hopefully he can take off. And then he kind of went through a little rut. He did make the All-Star team, though, which was I was happy for him to do that. But like you said, early on in the second half, struggled mightily. Just couldn't really get anything going. Pressing a little bit. Wasn't trusting his hands until he was chasing out of the zone. And then finally, I don't know if he just finally relaxed and said, stop doing that. But put him in the leadoff spot and took off. He raised his average to 30 points in the last month, I think. I think he was hitting about 250 and ended up hitting 280. And hit a bunch of home runs, triples, doubles, RBIs in the leadoff spot, stole some more bases, and eventually ended up being our team MVP for the season.
Really?
Well deserved.
Indeed. And hopefully he and the rest of the ball club have a terrific run in the postseason, too. Brady, we wish you best of luck tonight against Chattanooga, and thanks for joining us on This Week in Rays Baseball.
Neil, thanks. I appreciate it.
That's Brady Williams, again manager for the AA Montgomery Biscuits, playing Game 2 of the Southern League semifinals tonight in Chattanooga against the Twins affiliate, the Lookouts, and currently Montgomery down 1-0 in that best-of-five series. Now joining us at this point, a guy who finished the year in AAA. He's the USA Today Minor League Player of the Year from the Rays organization, Blake Snell. Blake, thanks very much for being with us, and what does it mean to win this award?
Yeah, I was really excited when I found out. Really honored that they thought that highly of him.
Were you surprised at all? I mean, obviously you've had a great year, but to be recognized as the minor league player of the year is something special.
I'm really honored by it, humbled by it. I kind of thought that I put quite a good year together, and for them to think that I put the best minor league year together, it really means a lot to me. So I'm excited about it.
Have you taken a look at the list of some of the players who've won this? I mean, from the Rays organization, it's David Price, Jeremy Hellickson, Josh Hamilton, and, at a national level, we're talking about guys like, more recently, Chris Bryant and Xander Bogaerts and Paul Goldschmidt. Some pretty good company.
Yeah, those are some big-name players. So I guess I got some big shoes to fill if I plan on making a name.
And I'm sure your family is going to keep you humble, knowing how influential they were in the year that you had. What have they said to you about the year that you've had, and what's it meant to have that strong support at home?
It's been huge. They're all pumped. They all saw about it, all kind of sent some texts or talked to me, and they're just really excited for me and what I put together, and yeah, it was funny because my dad was more like, congratulations, but we got to start getting ready for next year. So, it was cool. It was cool that they're all excited for me, but it was a good moment to have.
Now, before we talk about, your hopes, obviously, for the future, let's touch a little more on this year. You put 134 innings together. You had the lowest ERA in the history of minor league baseball since Justin Verlander in the early 90s. How do you feel physically after putting a career-high 134 innings together?
I feel really good, yeah. I didn't feel like my body was tired at all. I felt really, really good. I felt my body really bounced back well from every start. And I felt really great, and I was really pumped that I was healthy the whole year, so I was able to put a year like that together.
And I know going forward, obviously the Rays want you to be able to increase innings year upon year. Are there things that you learned from this season that you may lead you to do some things differently in the off season, or knowing you have more innings, you just work that much harder and getting that much stronger?
Truthfully, my mindset is I'm going to start my workouts in a couple weeks, and I'll get it going. But, everything's going to stay the same. I'm not going to think any harder on doing anything differently because what I just did last offseason worked this year. So I figure if I continue to work just as hard, it should be paying off the same amount for the years to come.
You moved from high A to double A to triple A. Did you notice much of a difference in terms of the hitter that you faced, and what adjustments, if any, did you have to make as you moved forward?
I noticed that the experience of the hitters, they had more of an idea of what they wanted to do. And they were just really more just a complete hitter. They knew what they wanted to hit. They knew what they couldn't hit. They knew what they were looking for in certain counts. They were just polished hitters. So that was kind of cool to see that if you made a mistake, that usually they were going to make you pay for it. And that was fun to learn and just be a part of that.
Where do you think you grew the most this year in terms of the way you pitch?
Probably say spring training, getting ready, trying to figure it all out again. And that's kind of where I feel like the most adjustments, that's where I learned the most from. And that's kind of where I was excited to start it up and kind of tell myself this is a big year that I need to have. And it was fun that looking back on it, I was able to feel I was starting out in spring to set and go for.
Where have your pitches grown, or which of your pitches do you think have grown the most?
I'd probably say the curveball's grown the most because it wasn't even on there as a pitch that people even thought about. So I'd say the curveball just because the arm speed of the curveball is better, the depth of the curveball. It's a real curveball with good arm speed now, and I feel it complements my fastball that much more. And, it's kind of my fourth pitch that I threw in this year that I've always had, but this year is when it really came out to look like a curveball and be a curveball, and it made my slider that much better. So I'll definitely go with the curveball.
Now, you're going into your protection year, and I guess obviously the expectation is you're going to be on the 40-man and headed to spring training. But down the stretch of this season, was it hard to block out the possibility of getting a call-up? Was it something you thought about at all?
I mean, I really thought about it a lot, more so once I got called up to AAA, and then I was like, I'm one step away, I can do this. And I felt like I put together such a good year to where I could get that call up. It didn't happen, but I had a really good year, and I was really, really had a good time in Durham learning from Kyle Snyder and just being a part of that team and learning from my teammates. It's had a lot of ex-big leaguers and a lot of people that got called up to the big leagues that I could learn from. So that was really cool to be a part of that, and it was really cool to pick JP and see his brain because he was a big league catcher for so long. So to be able to really have conversations with him and really pick his brain, that was huge for me.
You mentioned earlier in the year that when you went to the awards last season, it was motivating. I assume you're going to be back there for the awards at Tropicana Field during the upcoming homestand next week, and how much more motivating will it be knowing how close you are?
It'll be real motivating. I'm excited for it. Excited to go over there, watch them play a game, and just excited to see all the guys that I played with this year and see them living out their dreams. So I'm excited to go back and to see a lot of the faces I just saw and, just see that they're living out their dreams. So it'd be cool to be a part of that and get to cherish that with all of them.
Well, it's not far from you living out your dream as well. Congratulations on a terrific year and all the honors you're getting, especially Minor League Player of the Year from USA Today. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That's Rays prospect Blake Snell, again, the USA Today Minor League Player of the Year. Again, he was the Rays' fourth farmhand to receive this honor, joining outfielder Josh Hamilton, as well as pitchers David Price and Jeremy Hellickson. Now, Blake Snell won a couple of other awards this week. He was MLB Pipeline's Pitcher of the Year. He also was named to Baseball America's All-Star Team at the AA level. Now, several Rays were recognized by Baseball America. Congrats to Richie Schaefer and Taylor Motter. They were named AAA All-Stars. Blake Snell, we mentioned, in AA. Jake Faria going tonight for AA Montgomery got the honor in High A, and Brent Honeywell, a pitcher as well, now with the High A Charlotte Stone Crabs, got his recognition in low A. Again, congrats to all. Sister Hazel, the latest postgame concert from the Rays, will be performing a week from today on September 19th after the Rays take on the Orioles. You can come see Sister Hazel's hits like All For You and Change Your Mind for information and to purchase on-field wristbands. All you have to do is visit RaysBaseball.com/concerts or call 888-FAN-RAYS. Raise up. We certainly appreciate the time of one Blake Snell today, as well as all of our guests, including September call-ups Mikey Montauk, Luke Maley, Nick Franklin, C.J. Riefenhauser, Kirby Yates, and Andrew Bellotti, as well as Todd Kalish from Sun Sports, Danny Schaefer, the manager for the Princeton Rays, Michael Johns, the manager for the Charlotte Stone Crabs, and Brady Williams, the skipper for the AA Montgomery Biscuits. Now, next week, we're going to hear from the Minor League Award winners. The Minor League Award program is next Friday, and again, our show will be on Saturday before the Rays and Orioles. If you ever have something you'd like to hear on the show, just tweet me at Neil Solons for my producer, Jason Berenger. Neil Solons, stay tuned. The pregame show is next. It's the Rays taking on the Red Sox in Game 2 of 3. You're listening to the Rays Baseball Network.